Hello, I'm DJ TBD, and this is another episode of KCSU Live in Studio Sessions. This session took place on September 14, 2017, with Boston-based act Carissa Johnson and LA-based act Vanessa Silberman during their Western U.S. tour. Thanks for listening. You feed her too. I lost my place in your world. You lost you. You lost you. You lost you. Lift me up, I'll lift you. It's so simple, why is it difficult to do? Be afraid, it's okay. Think me out, I'm so lonely in your brain, babe. You pity the devil, you feed her too. I lost my place in your world. You lost you. You lost you. You lost you. We used to walk hand in hand, but now we're a time capsule in the sand. Now nothing's getting through, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You lost you. You lost you. You lost you.
You're listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. My name is TBD in the station here on this Thursday afternoon, live with Carissa Johnson and Vanessa Silberman. They are here during their tour through the Western U.S., and they have stopped by to play some songs for us. That last song was You Lost You, performed by Carissa herself. Guys would like to say hi.
Hey.
Hey, what's up? Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.
This is Vanessa talking.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your no doubt busy schedules to perform songs for me and for everyone else. That's really, really cool. Would Carissa, would you like to maybe explain a little bit what that song was about, or, you know, what caused you to write that song, sort of that thing?
Yeah, that song came together really quickly a few months ago. I released that song in April as the first single off my upcoming album, which will be out in March.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it about a few things. I think it's just about growing and expanding and kind of the people that come along with you and the people you kind of have to leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
Or just about friendships and relationships changing and just learning how to kind of deal with that and maybe just growing at different speeds or, you know, just people changing or changing yourself and just kind of learning how to
grow
and yeah, totally.
Yeah. How old are you guys, actually, just if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 23.
Okay.
I'm 100.
Okay, makes sense.
Hope you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem.
You're beautiful for your age.
Yeah, and honestly, time is a construct. Time is a construct, so it doesn't really matter, but that's awesome that, I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to that concept of, you know, growing up as we're all in this kind of a very weird time in life.
Everything's always changing.
Exactly. I wanted to ask, and we kind of touched on this before we went live, but, you know, what brought you both together? Because you're both kind of separate artists, and then you decide to join up and tour together for this section of the tour. What, you know, drew you both together?
Vanessa's been on tour for a long time, a couple years straight, consistently.
Yeah, I've been on the road for a really long time, and I was on tour doing an East Coast tour,
mm-hmm.
and myself, and then when I play under the Vanessa Silberman band with Reed Mullen of Corrosion of Conformity and my other friend Michael Ross, we did an East Coast tour and we played a show with Carissa in Boston. And literally, it's like, you know, when you immediately connect with, you know, someone, you know, even though you have people who are coming from different places or whatever, musically, we just really connected. And I work on the business side, too, and I'm an engineer and have an artist development label. And Carissa is really, and I'll let her speak more, but you know, in terms of like just owning her scene in Boston and stuff, I just have a lot of respect for her and what she's built there, and you know, just helping other bands and stuff. I've always come from the place, I've been on tour, but you know, from the music community in LA and been in the business for so long, about building and growing with like so many artists and bands and coming together with other artists and teaming up. And I just feel that way because it's not one band or artist who's going to change the world, but it's many. And when people come together, that's when things, you know, change. And, you know, so after we played, I invited her to come out for some other shows in the Midwest. And then we teamed up as well. With another tour that I was doing with another artist, Jimmy Diaz of the band The Love Dimension, who's on my artist development label, where me, myself, Carissa, and then Jimmy, we all backed each other for about 2 weeks. For the, you know, so just for any people who are listening or artists, you know, there's tons of ways you can tour and support yourself with other bands and support other bands. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and she opened up for another tour, and now we're doing this teamed up, and
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, we started booking tours before we actually met in person, and I think this is our fourth one together. We did a short one. We did a couple short ones. We did one that was 2 weeks. We did one that was a month, and this one's about 5-6 weeks split up into two different tours, and we'll be doing a lot of shows in Texas in a couple weeks. And I'm going back through like Arizona and California and doing a lot of stuff here on the West Coast.
That's awesome. Yeah. Have Chris, have you ever toured through the West Coast before? Because I know you're primarily from the East Coast. Have you been out this way before?
Yeah, a few times. I grew up in Boston. I still live there. And I've been building there for about 7 or 8 years with my solo project and other various bands. But yeah, I brought my solo project when it was pretty fresh out to California and just did a California tour with another artist, Lauren Hurley. And then I came out with my band and did the Northwest. That was like Seattle, Portland, and Vancouver. And that was last August. And then I decided to do the Southwest and do California, Arizona, New Mexico, and just places around there to do with my full band. And that was both of those tours were 2 weeks. And I've just always been drawn out to the West Coast. I really feel like it's like a second home, or like I'm just being pulled out here. This is my first day really in Colorado.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you could make it.
Yeah, very excited to be here.
Where you guys are playing in town tonight.
Yep. Yes, we are.
And you can find information about that on our Facebook pages or websites.
Yeah, I'm under Vanessa Silberman Official.
Okay.
And then
and mine's Carissa Johnson Music, and that's Facebook and CarissaJohnsonMusic.com.
Yes, so if you want to be at that show, I'm trying to be, you can find their information there online. Are you guys playing anywhere else in the Colorado area, like any other cities?
Not in Colorado.
No.
Yeah, we're over the weekend, we're venturing to Albuquerque, New Mexico. We have a couple of shows there. Yeah.
That'll be fun. I love New Mexico. It's a fun state.
Yeah, totally.
A question I usually ask people when they come in here, what is the song, or can you pinpoint a specific experience usually in your childhood that led you to want to be a musician? Because I know for me, my example is the song 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. I was like, yep, I want to play piano. That's me.
I remember that. I remember watching MTV and VH1, waking up early to watch Jumpstart, just all the music videos. And it was back when they were playing like Matchbox 20 and Avril Lavigne and Michelle Branch.
So good.
Yeah, like Maroon 5, like all those bands when they were first starting. And I remember being super inspired by that. And I went to see Avril Lavigne in 2003.
Oh, man. That's a very 2003 sentence to
say. Yeah, oh, totally. I went to see her in like 2007 too, but we won't talk about that.
Okay.
But yeah, no, 2003, I mean, I saw her on stage and that was my first concert and I just felt the energy of the room and I was like, I can do that.
This is it.
Yeah. And it was just a feeling and I was just like, this is just kind of, this is me. This is what I need to do. And mm-hmm. I didn't never knew how or when or why or what, but I was like, that's just what I got to do. Just slowly just came together.
I feel that. What about you, Vanessa?
I grew up partly between the Bay Area, Northern California, and Hawaii.
Okay.
And when I lived in Hawaii, I didn't have TV or radio. Mm. And I was, you know, I had to cross three bridges to get to school.
Wow.
And sometimes they would flood, you know, just to give a perspective. And, like, I remember when I was in eighth grade, like, Walmart and Borders Books came, and it was, like, such
the
a
most
big deal.
Revolutionary.
Yeah, it was, like, all of a sudden I could get CDs and magazines, and, you know, there might have been one record store in Hawaii. But, like, I discovered bands like Nirvana. Mm-hmm. I remember specifically like being over at a friend's house and my friend's dad playing Nirvana from his truck and just flipping out, being like, oh my God, what is this? And then I remember there was 10 CDs for a penny by Columbia House. Mm-hmm. And so I discovered a lot of stuff from that. But then also at the same time, there was these numbers you could call to order and you could hear previews of records. And I remember this one moment where I was like, oh my God, just freaking out. Like, they've got like rare Nirvana. And it was like In Utero or like something or like Bleach. But mm-hmm. I didn't know because I didn't have MTV. I had friends who had MTV. And but like I could hear like 30-second clips and I'd continually call back these like Columbia House type BMG places where you can hear previews of records. You know, so I discovered a lot of music that way and then stuff through the library or when magazines were available at like Borders Books and like through friends or like I had two friends who had like MTV and like I would stay up literally almost to daylight watching these music videos just you know I just knew when I heard you know I think Nirvana was the biggest one I just knew like no matter what I was like oh my God this is something I have to do because to hear music or hear songs that like reach you in a place that you can't even pinpoint you know you don't even know what the person or people look like I just felt like man you could really impact people's lives you know doing music and singing songs in like a positive way if you're you know writing and content like was you know super genuine or had like really good messages and stuff like that
That's awesome. Where in Hawaii did you live?
I lived on Kauai.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's
Have you been there?
I have. I have family who lives on Oahu. And then the last time that we traveled to go see them, we stopped in Kauai for the first time. And it's so beautiful there. But yes, definitely more secluded than some of the other islands. Not the most secluded of the islands, but more secluded. So
than some. Yeah. Like where Oahu's kind of a city on an island. Mm-hmm. Like Kauai, it took 45 minutes to get to the closest gas station.
Well, yeah. And Half of the island is like there's not even a road on it on Kauai. There's like no way to get to it by car. Half of the island is just like untamed, which is really really wonderful. I wanted to ask a question. Just occurred to me. You guys are from such different parts of the country. How do you think that personally affected your music style and your music taste? Are there like specific like local bands from where you grew up that really influenced you?
Growing up in Boston, this is Carissa talking, but growing up in Boston, I wasn't too in touch with the scene there until I started really playing my own music. Mm-hmm. And my dad was in bands and he had played around town when he was in his late 20s and early 30s. Mm-hmm. And he knew a lot of the local bands and he got me into a few bands like the Neighborhoods.
Okay.
And they were a big influence growing up when I started getting into punk music. And then I just, you know, the Pixies and a few other bands from Boston. The Lemonheads and Juliana Hatfield and Amy Mann from Till Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I started getting really into their story and what they did to be successful and just I really connected to their music too. Mm-hmm. And Boston is I feel like it's a unique scene from a lot of places that I've been, and it's definitely different from well, we were in Wyoming for the past 5 days and South Dakota, and like it's different from that, but it's also different from California and New York even, mm-hmm. Where it's an older scene and it's a competitive scene, mm-hmm. and it's yeah, venues are closing, venues are opening, mm-hmm. and I started when I was like 15 playing and wasn't even really old enough to technically be in those venues, and that was a challenge, but it was definitely, it was a good growing experience, mm-hmm. At a young age. And yeah, I felt super connected to it, and I just wanted to keep putting out albums and be a part of the community and help other bands, and just got really into the whole process of putting out an album and playing, and which led to wanting to tour and see the whole country. Mm-hmm. So yeah, being from Boston, I feel like it's good to have grown up in such a competitive scene, and one where it might be hard to stand out, or where there's a focus on metal music, mm-hmm. or different genres where punk isn't really the biggest focus there.
Okay.
It's more like, I guess rock is kind of big, but metal is really pretty big.
The thing out in Boston. Huh, I didn't know that.
And even like pop stuff and R&B is a huge scene in Boston. But yeah, definitely a good upbringing there. And still love being there, mm-hmm. and being a part of that scene. And just checking off the goals that I have there with venues and mm-hmm. Different things.
That's cool. What about you, Vanessa?
Well, I suppose like with the Bay Area, like growing up, mm-hmm. You know, there was bands that came out of there like Green Day and mm-hmm. like AFI, Operation Ivy, a lot of more punk bands.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Hawaii, there wasn't really many bands, but a lot of reggae or Hawaiian music and okay. stuff like that. So, you know, as far as like local bands, I remember like, you know, maybe there was a couple local Hawaiian bands and mm-hmm. stuff. But, you know, since I spent like most of the last part of like the last 15 years in Los Angeles mm-hmm. and just working on the business side, I mean, there were so many bands, you know, in the LA scene who I think are so diverse, who, let's say, maybe started in LA or came to LA as a band from another town, you know, and just working with different bands, even in San Francisco now. And just for anyone who's interested, like, there's some really cool local LA bands that I love. Like, there's a female-fronted group called Iris.
Okay.
Ramonda Hammer. There's another band called Velvet, a band called Name the Band, which is actually a Brazilian indie rock band.
Okay.
Zay, the singer, he's backed me on drums before. You know, so there's a lot of bands too with my artist development label that I worked with in the local scene to help build community. And then there's a lot of bands actually out of San Francisco that I work with. One of my favorite ones that I love dearly is a band called Down and Outlaws,
okay.
who I actually, while I was working at a recording studio as an in-house assistant engineer, I was also developing my label, and I found them when they were playing their first LA show. And they're an amazing like rock and roll, you know, kind of like Iggy Pop, Nirvana, Tom Petty, mm-hmm. all that kind of mix. There's a really cool psych rock scene, too, in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
The Love Dimension. I also really love this all-girl group, Snow Angel, I've worked with. And then even working with other bands, like in New York, there's an artist called Kino Camino,
mm-hmm.
who I really love. And
By Tyrant.
By Tyrant, Shark Muffin, Jane, they're out of Brooklyn, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's so many bands I could just list off. I have like
forever,
an ongoing
ever.
List. I'm like a huge promoter of other bands and artists too.
That's awesome.
And songwriters. So
that's really cool. Carissa, you mentioned your dad was a big influence. And then a question that I ask a lot is how people's parents' taste in music influence the music they make now, and usually the answer is either I like followed my parents' path in music or just like completely rebelled and went completely against my parents. I wondered if those if you both have similar experiences to either of those options.
Yeah, my dad was always into music, and he played guitar a lot growing up, and he still does.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, he was playing with his band, and I'd go to the TV station that the bassist worked at, and I'd film them when I was like
cool.
10 years old, and I'd be like at the control room pressing buttons and making videos. And I remember I thought it was so cool, and I liked the music. And
mm-hmm.
Actually, on my first album, I covered one of my dad's band's songs called Open Your Eyes.
Okay.
And it's just, it's music. It's definitely influenced me. And when I was younger, I didn't want to admit it. I definitely wanted to rebel from what my dad was listening to. Uh-huh. And at the time, he was listening to the Ramones and XTC and bands that I love now.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, probably 9 or 10, right when I started playing guitar, listening to those bands. I had a Discman and headphones, and I just like listen to certain songs on repeat. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is just, there's something about this song that I'm like feeling something. Mm-hmm. And it was that music that my dad really got me into, kind of indirectly. And yeah, we still connect on a lot of music, and we both like heavy guitars and the same like melodic songs with heavy beats and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So yeah, my dad and I listen to a lot of the same music. My mom is also a music fan, but not, it's not like her main focus.
Okay.
But yeah, they've both been super supportive of me doing music, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, definitely. And what about you, Vanessa?
It's kind of interesting. I feel like there's like almost no music in my family.
Huh, that is
interesting. And so I think, you know, I just felt so connected by the other bands or artists who I heard growing up.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was a fashion designer.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, from New York, and she's kind of an artist still and does mm-hmm. that. So I do a lot of art, even under my artist development label, so maybe a portion of that influenced
mm-hmm.
Me. And my dad's a developer and an architect. Yeah, I kind of got like coming down to the basement, Vanessa, do you mind turning that down? That yeah. is really loud. and you know, I don't know, somehow I always knew I wanted to move to LA too and do rock and
mm-hmm.
I don't know, something else, you know. So rebelling against my parents, no, but like I just feel like I was really independent and had my own ideas and, you know, didn't want to stay around. I just had my own idea of what I was going to do, and, mm-hmm. and that was always going to be music. I know my parents really wish that I, you know, would have been more of a focus on being an artist. And but, you know, I think I still do some of that stuff. And, like, if anybody's interested, they can check out some of my art online. Like, I've done a lot of stuff for other bands. Like, I did a bunch of art for Dead Sarah,
mm-hmm.
Another rock band from L.A., and other artists under my artist development label and stuff. So, yeah.
So, yeah, that's another question that I typically ask musicians if they do practice any other type of art, be it visual art. So you do create art? Is it like graphic design? Is it painting? Is it
yeah, actually all those things, but I mainly like right now the focus is really just being an artist, because I've been on the road for the last 2 years pretty much,
mm-hmm.
and that takes up a lot of time. But during spare time, I really have really liked, you know, making CD covers for other bands and mm-hmm. graphics. But I also am an engineer producer, and I consider that an art
yeah.
as well.
Oh, definitely.
I would like to retire in France and be a painter, and you know, and live on a farm or yeah. something like that. I think I'll end up doing that later
it
in life
like
more.
That sounds like a dream to me. And Carissa, do you practice any visual art of any kind or any other art besides music as well?
Yeah, actually, when I was younger, I was so focused on illustration and drawing, like just pencil and pen drawings.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty much when I picked up guitar, I kind of gave that up.
Okay.
But I did a little bit of it. I actually ended up going to college for fine art and with a focus on graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
Learned what I had to about how to make an album and got out of school. I love Photoshop and Illustrator, and I've done a lot of album art for bands in Boston, and I do the art for my own albums.
Mm-hmm.
And I make a lot of posters and stuff like that, and I've gotten back into drawing. Yeah, I love all the different types of art, and a lot of times, like when I make my albums, the art is just as fun as the song mm-hmm. creation. So yeah, I love it.
That's awesome. What do you think you would be doing like right now if you were not a musician? Like, I know Vanessa, you might answer engineering audio, but like maybe even farther from that, what would you be doing if there was no music?
No music
at all.
Because I still feel like, I mean, I still am engineering, producing, like, along mm-hmm. the way. My last tour that I was in Colorado, I started producing some music, punk record for, the Love Dimension, or sorry, Jimmy Diaz, who's mm-hmm. the front man of. So it's like, and I've worked with artists in Atlanta and stuff, but unrelated to music, I feel like if I was not doing music in this life, I would be like a research FBI agent.
Okay.
I like to, find out information and research stuff like that. Or mm-hmm. I know when I was younger, I really wanted to be a movie director, and I love acting too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure at some point in my life, I will keep mixing that stuff in. But yeah, as far away from entertainment, probably an FBI agent or something.
The cowgirl.
Okay. Cowgirl, I love cowboys.
In an alternate universe, there's a cowgirl FBI agent just finding things out about the Old West. And then, Carissa, what about you, if you could think about that?
I feel like I would be a skateboarder or a surfer.
Okay.
I always loved skateboarding growing up, and that was also just a big focus until music took over.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet I would move to Venice Beach and just skateboard all day.
That's awesome. All right, so we are going to jump in to your last song, Carissa, if that's all right with you.
Yep.
This is the tune Fuel Heart, and you are listening to a live performance of it by Carissa Johnson in the 90.5 KCSU station. Thanks for listening.
Distract me, I'm no longer intact. I got a fraction of the strength I need to untie my tongue. I'm trying so hard to love myself. Baby, when I do, I love someone else. I'm smiling, I'm crying, I'm living, I'm dying. I'm happy, I'm sad. One day I'll be something I'll say you can't figure out. Figure out. I'm a wreck, I'm a rock, I'm hurting. I'm only breaking on the surface what you call face. Have been my only days. It's not just a fever I can sweat out. Sure, with every pass around the sun it gets easy, at least easier. Sure, with every passing wave it gets better. I've got a fuel heart, a fuel heart. The air is ocean, so are we. Fear calls, but you don't have to pick up. I'm trying so hard to ignore the ring. Baby, if we do, there's so much to see. I'm smiling, I'm crying, I'm living, I'm dying. I'm happy, I'm sad. One day I'll be something I'll say you can't figure out. Figure out. I'm a wreck, I'm a rock, I'm hurting. I'm only breaking on the surface what you call face. Have been my only days. It's not just a fever I can sweat out. Sure, with every pass around the sun it gets easy, at least easier. Sure, with every passing wave it gets better. I've got a fuel heart, a fuel heart.
You're listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins, where you just heard a live performance of the song Fuel Heart by Carissa Johnson. We have Carissa Johnson and Vanessa Silberman in the studio right now with us, and they are going to play some more songs. Actually, Vanessa is going to play some more songs. We're going to take a quick break. Going to play some regular tunes for you while the tuning commences. Stick around. They'll be back live in about maybe five-ish minutes. So definitely keep listening to your college radio station, 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. Welcome back. My name is DJ TBD, and I am here in the studio with Vanessa Silberman and Carissa Johnson. We just heard Carissa Johnson play two of her songs, You Lost You and Fuel Heart, and now we are about to hear Vanessa play her song American Folk Rock. Thanks for listening to this live session here at 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
Under desert stars, playing Abbey Road, keeping warm in my car alone. Waking up to sun, climbing up the rocks, reading a book, getting lost in thought. So lately, baby, I felt alone. You've been Hollywood lately, haven't been home. Music saves me, I love the road. Driving in my car, blasting the stereo to American folk rock. Under desert sun, kicking up the dirt, drawing pictures, I'm singing words. Walking down this road, it's a long path. You left me bitter, but it's something I'll get past. Lately, baby, I felt alone. You've been Hollywood lately, haven't been home. Music saves me, I love the road. Driving in my car, blasting the stereo to American folk rock. Famous lately, haven't been home. Music saves me, I love the road. Driving in my car, blasting the stereo to American folk rock.
KCSU. You are listening to a live studio session with Carissa Johnson and Vanessa Silberman. Vanessa just played you her song American Folk Rock, and would you like to maybe give a little story behind that song or talk about it for a little bit?
A few things about that song. The recording of the song was done actually in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
In a recording studio called BOP. I was over there doing a studio label collaboration with that studio and their old label called Skudu, and my label called The Diamond Heart. And I was over there. I basically went over there to find a group or artists and produced a single. And I ended up going over there and I found a hip hop group in the area where the studio is, kind of close to the border of Botswana, called Mafeking. And okay. I worked with the different songwriters. On the very last day, I ended up recording this song there, and it was just done in this like incredible room with just one microphone. Mm-hmm. And the whole song is kind of a bit different from, like, for example, let's say my old band Diamonds Under Fire, where it was like more grunge pop rock. Mm-hmm. But with my solo material, I wanted to kind of do extremes. Mm-hmm. And dabble in different areas, and I wanted to do a really personal mm-hmm. song that was more a folk vibe, and you know, just kind of talk about some personal things and some experiences I had. So you can find the track on my current EP that's available on iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, a question I guess that just came off of that. What, because you guys, or you both have said that you have been in bands and projects before, but what kind of caused you to also go into solo work, I guess is my question for both of you.
For myself, Diamonds Under Fire was like kind of a band slash moniker that I used for over 12, 13 years. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it kind of had a long life. Mm-hmm. And during that span, I had, you know, played solo, had different players, session players, paid players, and then two girls who were kind of my bandmates towards the end who, you know, we kind of developed it a little bit more. But during that time towards the end, I started recording a lot. And, you know, life changes, and through a span of so many years, like, you grow, or, like, the attachment to, you know, it's like people could have gone through high school basically three times during mm-hmm. that time. So, you know, I kind of changed, and I really wanted to not be afraid to try different stuff and just kind of do stuff on my own.
Yeah, of
and
course.
Not be attached to, you know, waiting on anybody or anything or... and I just wanted to try different things, collaborating with a lot of different people, or, you know, try doing a folk song and then also do a really heavy song mm-hmm. that sounds like, you know, drop D and like more punky and mm-hmm. like, you know, or even have someone rap on a song, and, but still have a cohesive sound. So I just wanted to try doing different things and not be afraid, and was ready for a change and started rebuilding about it. You know, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, of course. And Carissa, maybe what are your thoughts on that question as well?
Yeah, I started playing in bands when I was about 15. I joined this band called Left Hand Blue from mm-hmm. my high school. And I grew up in a town called Andover where music's not the focus. It's more sports. Uh-huh. And so that was the only band in town. And I had looked up to them for like a year or so. I was just like, oh man, like these were kids in my grade, but they were the only ones playing shows. And I was like, man, you can be in a band and just do this. And I asked them about the talent show, and then they actually were like, hey, we're looking for a bassist. Do you want to join? Mm-hmm. And ended up joining, being with the band for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that was primarily Matt, the singer. That was his project that I had joined, and he had written the songs. He was a great, great songwriter. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have I had a voice as far as the visuals went in that band, and, mm-hmm. you know, playing bass and singing backup, but I didn't write. And I started kind of developing my writing during that period, and Matt started doing solo stuff, and that inspired me to do my own solo stuff mm-hmm. and get on stage. And seeing some of the local bands at the venue I worked at in New Hampshire really inspired me to just keep going. And I really felt like I had a voice through my solo project.
Yeah.
And it started off acoustic, and then put out an album. And in the studio, I would play guitar and bass and sing, and then I'd hire drummers and kind of formed a band unintentionally in the studio. Mm-hmm. And then for the release show, hired some friends that I knew that played instruments, and met at that show this other band in town that wanted to be my backing band. And then from there, it just grew into a solo project, and have had a band ever since, and still like the balance of doing acoustic shows mm-hmm. where I can just be up there by myself and have that freedom, but also have the big sound of a band behind me.
Mm-hmm. When you play with a band, do you play bass?
I do. Yeah, in my band, I sing and play bass. And that's I have awesome. A guitarist, Steph, and a drummer, Nick. And yeah, a three-piece band. The lineup's changed a few times. Mm-hmm. But this has been the lineup for about a year and a half now.
That's cool. Do you both know how to play other instruments besides the ones we've already mentioned, guitar and bass, and anything else?
I can hack my way through the drums, but I'm not
try my best.
Yeah, I did a 3-month tour with Jimmy from the Love Dimension, where we both backed each other mm-hmm. on drums and did that for 3 months and literally had maybe 2 days off a month. So double duty. And then when Carissa joined on for 2 weeks, we were doing like somewhat triple duty. So mm-hmm. Also, you know, being a producer and an engineer, sometimes I've programmed stuff on the keyboard and mm-hmm. Doing songs, and I've recorded playing bass. So I've also played drums on mm-hmm. someone's record before.
That's really cool. What would you both say is your favorite instrument to play, though, however?
Drums.
Just something about it.
Yeah, drums are super fun.
Yeah.
Even if you're not good, it's still fun.
Yeah.
I love singing guitar. Mm-hmm. I love it so much.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then, drums. I tried once to play drums, and it was bad. It's such a bad. I went from piano to drums, which I guess is more.
That's a difference.
Yeah, it's a difference. Not as much as a difference that I met going from piano to guitar. That never stuck with me. They're so different, piano and guitar, that it never stuck. Drums stuck a little more, but
yeah.
Oh, man.
It's such a different thing. It's really cool, actually, you know, being a songwriter and then mm-hmm. backing someone, because there's like so much less pressure. You're like, oh my God.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's cool to like hear it in a different way. And then with piano, it's like the notes, I feel like you can apply that to so many different
things. Fair. What, you both write your own songs, correct?
Yep.
What would you say like your songwriting process typically is? And you also write the music as well. So do you, I know some people do lyrics first and then music, or music first and then lyrics, or is it sort of a combination of both? What would you say?
For my songs, I usually write the lyrics first.
Okay.
Actually, always. I don't think I've ever written the melody first.
Okay.
I usually write them as poems and then fit a melody to it. I just start playing mm-hmm. a bunch of random chords until something sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do come together at the same time,
mm-hmm.
But never melody first.
Okay.
It's usually just the words.
Yeah.
For myself, and this is Vanessa talking, usually it always starts with like some kind of musical riff.
Okay.
And then I make a melody over that. And then sometimes I'll record that and then listen to it somewhere else and mm-hmm. then kind of make out the words that I'm singing. And, you know, the feeling, or, you know, say, okay, I'm going to write this kind of song and, mm-hmm. like, I have some lyric ideas and stuff. But usually it'll be the guitar. And sometimes I spent quite a few years just writing on the acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the songs that are, like, louder, I feel like, or more heavy, I actually ended up writing riffs on my electric.
Okay.
But I started learning guitar on my electric which is kind of maybe untypical for some being a little 12-year-old, 11-year-old girl.
Shredding it out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Being as loud as possible.
Yeah, always, always. Was there, starting out either in certain projects or as your solo careers, any particular like audience you were trying to target or any specific message you were trying to convey through this music that you set out to do in the beginning, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
I think for myself, it was just really reaching people, you know, through giving people like hope and positivity through mm-hmm. music in like a big way, where, you know, where other bands and their songs and material, I feel like maybe got me through whatever I was going through as a teenager,
mm-hmm.
you know, just with the hopes of just changing one person's life. That's how I felt. Like, I was like, man, if I could just, you know, someone just said like, hey, you know what, your song like changed my life and made me feel so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was really the ultimate goal. And I think, you know, massively to reach a lot of people. I mean, for me, like, I think there's a positive message, but the arrangement and songwriting is cohesive enough for, you know, an older person and a younger person to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be reached through the power of radio or, you know, just listening, but like ultimately just being real and honest and, you know, raw and intimate,
mm-hmm.
You know, through doing that as an artist, hopefully that people feel less alone in this world.
Yeah, I understand that. What about you, Carissa, if you have any things to add?
Yeah, definitely. I come from a very similar mindset and definitely want to convey the same sort of feelings through my music and just spread positivity and, you know, let people know that things change and that, you know, there's always a way to make a situation better than it is. And yeah, like my first show, my first ever solo show, I played at the venue I worked at in New Hampshire called Sad Cafe. And I remember trying to get everyone I knew out. And this girl named Carissa actually ended up going. And she came up to me crying at the end of my show. And she was like, "You just sang everything that I needed to hear."
Oh, that's so
and
nice.
I was like, "Oh, man, like that's this is my best. First show." And that's like, so cool. I was addicted already to that. And I was just like, I need to do this for more people.
That's amazing.
And so, yeah, that was a very important I think situation, and I just really wanted to keep doing that, and I felt like I had a voice, and I had to get a lot of stuff out for myself, and it ended up resonating with other people because I was just saying what I had to say, and it was very raw and real, and people would comment on that, and they'd feel like the authenticity, which is also something I want to project, is just the realness of it all.
For sure.
And two, just to add on that, I think like if you're an artist, you know, let alone a female or even male, it doesn't matter. But like, you know, just being out here and touring a lot, I feel like that to me, like currently with my solo music, and I, you know, I don't want to speak for Carissa, but I feel like it's completely mutual where, you know, we want to let, you know, people know, and females and males, that like, if you want to tour and be an artist, you can team up with people and you can do this too. And like, you know, I toured a lot solo as a female by myself across the United States. Like, if there's any girls listening, you know what? I swear to you, the fear is bigger than the actual reality of that.
Okay. And, I feel that.
You know?
Yeah. Awesome. So, one last question before I think we're going to go into the last song. Just a quick little fun one. If you were stranded on a desert island, what, and you could only bring three albums to listen to forever, what albums would those be? If you, I know this is always an evil question to ask any musician or really anybody to pick three.
It's funny, albums. I've thought about being asked this question before, and I'm like, what would I answer? I would say Distillers, Coral Fang would be one of them. Garbage, self-titled. And, oh man, what would the third one be? I have to listen. Sahara Hot Nights, Kiss and Tell.
Okay, all right, awesome. Good choices. And Vanessa?
I would bring like a Mozart or Beethoven CD.
Interesting.
Oh, smart.
Nirvana, Nevermind, and an audiobook on tape.
Of
like, maybe like
how to survive.
Stories, how to survive, or multiple things like, let's say a compilation CD of like cooking and travel.
Cheating so the system over here.
How to hunt while being stranded on an island to live.
Yeah, you beat it. You beat the system. So this has been a live studio session with Carissa Johnson and Vanessa Silberman. Again, thank you both so much for being here with me today.
Oh, thank you so much.
This was really great.
Yeah, thank you for
fun,
having us.
Of course. And just one more time before we end out, you guys are in town tonight.
Yes.
What the show starts at
9 p.m.
9 p.m. And they can find all the information of where at Facebook pages, which is, again,
Vanessa Silberman Official. And that's also on Instagram. We're super active on there.
Awesome. And then
Carissa Johnson Music, Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. So if you are looking to be at that show tonight, which I am definitely trying to be there, you know where to find that information. You are smart, technological human beings. But to end out the session, we have Vanessa performing her song, Shine. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
Stay positive. It's the way to go. 'Cause it comes to this, it's the way you glow. I like gold, skulls and sounds, leopard print, hearts and crowns. Gonna shine a light for you. Shine like a diamond too. Being honest, but it's hard to say. I loved a girl, no apology. Oh, wolves and tattoos are fun. Roses, western claws and guns. Gonna shine a light for you. As bright as the truth. It's time that I told you. Shine like a diamond too. Silence is golden, your memory. It's too brokenhearted, let me be. Save my soul with a guitar. Let it all go and just be who you are. Gonna shine a light for you. As bright as the truth. It's time that I told you. Shine like a diamond too. Gonna shine a light for you. As bright as the truth. It's time that I told you. Shine like a diamond too. Gonna shine a light for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As bright as the truth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sign that I told you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shine like a diamond too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of KCSU Live in Studio Sessions. I would like to thank Carissa Johnson and Vanessa Silverman for coming into the station to perform and talk to me. My name is TBG. I engineered the audio, hosted, and produced this podcast. If you would like to hear more podcasts from us, you can find them at kcsufm.com.